Good evening. This is the Saturday Night Bible Study. I'm Johnny Coffey, and this is Harmony Baptist Church. This evening, we're going to be in Psalm 63. Psalm 63. One of the things about being in a Christian life, and I don't know if you watched any of my previous messages, but I'm horrible at introductions. One of the things about the Christian life is a lot of times we get caught up in serving God, or what we think is serving God, serving Jesus Christ. And one of the things that messes us up is we stop having our minds and focus on God, and we have our focus. We start thinking in terms of job and I work at the church, I work for the pastor, I work for the Sunday school superintendent, or whatever the situation is. I'm a missionary, so I work for the mission board, or whatever the case is. A lot of times it's very easy to get our minds worldly, thinking about the world, having a world mentality about what we're doing, okay? And we forget that the ultimate goal and the purpose of salvation is for us to have a personal relationship with God. Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to die for our sins. He did not come to this earth to save us from hell or from our sins. He did not come to this earth to save us from penalties. He came to this earth to pay the price, to reconcile us to the Father, so that we would have a relationship, a personal relationship with God the Father, because God wants to have a personal relationship with us. Our sin separates us from God. Us being saved from sin and being saved from hell are products, byproducts, the outcome of our salvation. It's not the purpose of our salvation, okay? The purpose of our salvation is a personal relationship with God. And we need to always have that mentality when we serve God. Our service to God is a relationship based, okay? And if you stop thinking relationship, you will get into things like legalism and other things. You'll start worrying about what other people think. That's the worst thing about being a Christian. Worrying about what other people think. Worrying about what your pastor thinks. Worrying about what your friends think. Worrying about those things. When that mind comes into play, then you stop being a servant of Jesus Christ and you start being a servant. It's just pride-based, okay? You need to be focused on God. And so this evening's message, we're going to be in Psalm 63. This evening's message is I want to talk about what is talked about in verse 11. It says, "But the king shall rejoice in God." Keep that phrase, rejoice in God. Our relationship with God should cause us to rejoice in God. Everything we do in the Christian life, we should be rejoicing in God. I want you to notice the first thing about rejoicing in God is rejoice in God for who He is. Look in Psalm 1, verse 3. That's 1 verse 3. To rejoice in God for who He is. The first thing is, He is a personal God. Look in verse 1. "God, Thou art my God." My God. Is Jesus Christ your God? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that who should ever believe it in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Is He your Lord and Savior? Are you serving Him? Do you have that personal relationship? David did. David had a personal relationship. He says, "Oh God, Thou art my God." He didn't say it was Israel's God. He didn't say it was the Jewish God. He said it was his God, his personal God. David had a personal relationship with God. He is a personal God. He says, "Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry in thirsty land where no water is. Do you feel that way about God? Do you wake up the first thing that, you know, the first thing that pops in your head when you wake up should be God. The last thing you think about before you go to bed should be God. If it's not, you need to check your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. None of us, the devil, the world, the flesh, will distract every single one of us. None of us are so spiritual that we don't have to worry about this, okay? Everyone in this world has to fight this. We have to wake up. We have to daily stay. He says, my soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee. Joshua 1:8 says, for this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is according therein, that thou mayest be prosperous, and thou mayest have long, I know I messed that up. Thou mayest prosperous, and everything thou doest shall have good success. For then thou shalt have good success. I know I butchered it, but I basically got the idea. And the idea is meditate therein day and night. You never are going to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ if you do not meditate on the Word of God. If you do not wake up with the Word of God and go to bed with the Word of God. I've heard many different people say that it doesn't matter when you do this. According to Scripture, you should be having the Word of God in your mind all day. So I don't see how you can have the Word of God in your head all day unless you start the day with the Word of God in prayer and end the day with the Word of God in prayer, you know. And people have different ideas about this, you know. I like to read a chapter in the morning, meditate on it during the day, and then at night do my devotions, answer questions about the passage that I read. I pick a key verse at the end of the day. I pick a key verse after I've meditated on the chapter. I pick a key verse, and then I answer questions on that. That's how I personally do my devotions or quiet time. Okay? You may have a different way, but I do believe that you should start your day with the Word of God in prayer, and you should end it with the Word of God in prayer. Okay? Look, and the next thing is, He's a powerful God. The next thing about rejoicing in for who He is, you got to start out for who He is He's a powerful God. Look at thy power in verse 2. Verse 2, it says, see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. The God that you see in the sanctuary, when you go to church, the God that you see at church, you should see in the home. You should see when you're raising your kids. You should see that God working in your marriage. You should see that God working in your work relationships, okay? In your job, okay? With your family, you should see that God working. You know, if you don't see that God working, you need to get on your knees and pray. You need to get with God and find out what's going on, okay? He is a powerful God. He can work in your life powerfully, okay? The next thing is, He's a loving God. Look in verse 3. It says, because of thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. He's got rejoicing. He's rejoicing in this loving God. He knows He's a loving God. And the word loving God is from the word hes. It's a Hebrew word, hes. And it says, is used about 250 times in the Old Testament. It means loyal, steadfast, or faithful love. And stresses the idea of belonging together of those in the love relationship. In the Old Testament, the words communion, deliverance, enabling, enlightenment, guidance, forgiveness, hope, praise, preservation are all based on God's hes or loving kindness. Okay? It's a huge word. It means a lot of things. His loving kindness, it's all encompassing. We are going to realize something. God's love is not like our love. Even when we talk about unconditional love, like parents have for their children, it's not unconditional. First of all, it's conditioned on the fact that you're a child. Okay? All right? My love for my boys is based on the fact that they're my boys. That's not unconditional love. The condition is they're my boys. I don't have the same love for other people's boys. Okay? They're my boys. God loved us before we first loved Him. He loved us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's love, He loved us when we were His enemies. Do you realize that? That's unconditional love. Our love is not unconditional, okay? We have conditional love, okay? We love certain people better than we love other people based on what they've done for us, based on our relationships, based on what we like. God's love is all-encompassing and perfect. It's a perfect love. We do not have that. So we rejoice in who God is. He's a personal God. He's a powerful God. He is a loving God. And next, He is a satisfying God. Look in verse 5. Verse 5 says, "My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow, fatness, and my mouth shall praise Thee with joyful and lips." Now the marrow and the fatness is the marrow of the bone. A lot of times, when you cook, when you make soup, things, they'll have bones in that, in a cooking broth. That's where broth comes from, you know. It's the nourishment of the bones, okay? God satisfies us spiritually. And I'm going to tell you something. The interesting thing about God satisfying spiritually is it satisfies us physically also. It keeps us in good health. God's satisfying spiritually, satisfying us, will keep us mentally sharp, okay? Doesn't mean you won't have Alzheimer's. Doesn't mean you can't have bipolar disorder. Doesn't mean that you won't have Parkinson's disease or any of these other things, because we all have a sin nature. We all have sin-cursed bodies, okay? The world is dying. So you will have frail bodies. You will have calcium deficiency. These types of things that we have to worry, diabetes, things that, those things still exist. But God's satisfying us will keep us stronger even when we're dealing with those infirmities, okay? It'll keep us sharper than we normally would be sharp, okay? All right? There are people out there come from war. They're dealing with PTSD, different things of that nature. God's not going to eradicate your PTSD. But He can mentally strengthen you so that you can deal with it, all right? God's not going to get rid, doesn't always, anybody that thinks that, has that mentality, you should go lay hands on somebody that has cancer, okay? Because if you can take away somebody's PTSD, you should be able to take away their cancer, okay? So feel free to do that if you have that power, okay? I've never met anyone that has that power, But I do believe that God can get us through, just like He can get us through having cancer, and He can give us strength and mentality and sharp mind to deal with those things. He can also deal with the other health problems that we have. But the second thing is rejoice in God for what He does. First, we have to start off with rejoicing in who God is, okay? And that comes through spiritual maturity, okay? Maturity. Okay, spiritual maturity, all right? God, when we first get saved, a lot of times we love God because He delivered us from drugs. We love God because He delivered us from alcohol. We love God because He delivered us from an immoral relationship, because we were shacking up with somebody and we're having fornication, which is no different than homosexuality. It's a sexual sin. We love God because He did these great things for us. But as we mature in Christ, okay, mature in Christ, we'll learn that we love God for who He is first. And then we can love God for what He has done. What He has done, rejoice in God for what He has done. Look in verse 7. He has protected me. He has protected me. Look in verse 7. Because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. The shadow of my wings is like, the image is like an eagle protecting her young. Okay? And an eagle's wings is like 7 to 9 feet long. 7 to 9 feet long. They're very enduring, strong endurance, okay? Huge wings, okay? That's the image here. God is protecting us. In God's will, you are indestructible. You don't have to worry about disease. You don't have to worry about terrorists. You don't have to worry about economic downfall. Not saying these things will not happen to you. What I'm saying is, no matter what happens in your life, no matter how poor you are, no matter how sick you are, no matter how, what disease, things going on, God will protect you. The next thing is he has strengthened me. Look in verse 8. It says, my soul falleth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. That's God's strength, his right hand. In the Bible, the right hand was the strongest. More people are right-handed than they are left-handed. Okay? So the right hand is always your dominant hand. Predominantly in humans, the right hand is the dominant hand. So it always, it's a symbol of strength. Okay? So he strengthens us. I don't care how frail you are. I don't care if you're going through cancer. I don't care if you're going through Parkinson's disease. I don't care if you have PTSD or bipolar disorder. I don't care if what is going on in your life. I don't care if you're going through a divorce. I don't care if you're in a divorce. I don't care if your wife cheated on you or your husband, your spouse cheated on you. God can strengthen you, okay? You do not need the drugs and alcohol to get through, all right? Use the Lord's strength. Now, a lot of times this is what happens. Some horrible thing happens. Let's say you get cheated on. Let's say your wife left you, your husband left you, whatever. It wasn't your fault. Maybe it was your fault. I don't know. But let's assume it wasn't. A lot of times people get angry and bitter and they quit depending on God. They quit reading their Bible. They quit praying. That's the number one thing God, Satan wants you to do. He wants you to get away from your strength. Your strength comes in the Word of God. The Word of God is your strength. Okay? That's how God speaks to you, is through the Word of God. Okay? Even when other Christians are speaking through you, if they are speaking to you, if God's speaking through another Christian, they're always lining up with the Word of God. They're always lining up with the Word of God. Never get away from the Word of God. Go to the Word of God in prayer and your tears. If you're angry, if you're bitter, cry out to God like Job did. Okay? Cry out to God. He already knows. I'm going to tell you something. If you're sitting in the dark and you're cursing God in your mind, in your heart, in your soul, you're cursing God, tell him what you think. He already knows. He's already heard it. If he's heard it in your mind, you might as well just say it. You might as well come off your lips and say it. Get with him privately until you get right with God. Get right with God and move on. Okay? Don't let it just keep going. Okay? God loves you and he wants. If God wanted to strike you dead and send you to hell or send you to heaven early, he would already done it. If you're still here and you're able to be bitter and angry and curse God in your mind and tell him you don't care anymore, if you're still here and able to do that, guess what? It's because he's given you grace to repent and to get right with you, right with him, and he wants to do something in your life. Okay? He wants to do something in your life. You know why? Because he loves you. You should rejoice in God even in the bad times, even when you've backslidden, even when you haven't repented, you rejoice because God's given you the grace and the time to repent and get right with him. I want you to notice the last thing, to rejoice in God, those that do not rejoice in God. Now, this is the person you do not want to be, okay? Those that do not rejoice in God is in verse 10. Verse 10, they shall fall. Verse 9 says, but those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. The first people that that do not rejoice are the enemies of God. The enemies of God do not rejoice in God. You hear a lot of negative evolutionists, Hindus, you know, those people that believe in karma. They don't rejoice in God because they believe in karma. You know, that's pagan Satanism. That's no different than being a devil worshiper. If you believe in karma or, you know, which is karma, you know, karma. Karma is not sowing and reaping. Karma is believing that. Karma is the belief that if you do bad stuff, you'll come back as a bug. Okay? If you believe you're going to come back as a bug, and then you have to be a bug and be a good bug until you can be a human again, what bad thing can a bug do or good thing can a bug do that can make that person a human? That doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay? So I don't believe in karma. Okay? You know, those people are the enemies of God. Okay? The people that believe that practice witchcraft, you know, manipulation, astrology, you know, that's Satanism. Those are the enemies of God. Evolutionists, you know, the belief that you can magically be a bird and then magically turn into a human being. That's anti-God. It's anti-Bible. Okay, those are the enemies of God. Those are the people that are always, that are like in Psalm 1, you know, the scornful. You know, they're always criticizing God and God's people, you know. Beware, people. We do some horrible things. We say some horrible things. A lot of times we get saved, and then as time goes by, we start looking down on people. We start saying, well, you know, I would never drink, or I would never smoke cigarettes, or I would never do that, or I would never abuse a child, or I would never do that. And I'm like, the only reason you wouldn't do that is because of the grace of God, because of the Holy Ghost working in your life, okay? The only reason you're not a pedophile is because God's worked in your life. The only reason you're not a rapist is because God's worked in your life. The only reason you're not a drunk is because God's worked in your life. The only reason you're not a serial killer is because God's worked in your life. Never forget. You know what produces legalism? You know what produces a pharisaical mindset? The idea that you would never be as wicked as the person you're judging. And the thing is if it wasn't for the grace of, the truth is, if it wasn't for the grace of God in your life, you would be just like Charles Manson. All right? You would be just like Jeffrey Dahmer, you would be just like Hitler. We put these people in different categories, but we have the same exact sin nature, the same exact capability of being that person. And the moment you say in your Christian life, I would never, then you don't understand what grace is. You don't understand what God actually did for you. You don't understand the sin nature that you have, because you have the same sin nature that he has. You have the same sin nature that Osama bin Laden has. Okay, you have the same sin nature as a Muslim, as a Mormon, as a Catholic, as a Hindu. You have the same sin nature. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sin and your sin nature. That's why he had to die on the cross for you, for me. And the moment you don't understand, the moment that you do not see yourself as evil and as satanic and as wicked as that other person, that's the moment that you have discredited and disgraced what Jesus Christ actually died on the cross for. And that is the reason why you slosh through the blood of Christ and you disrespect grace. We do not deserve. God did not die on the cross for our sins because we were kind of bad. We are all bad. And we are all equally bad. Okay? And we are all equally sinners. And we are all equally have the same sin nature. And if that right there does not cause you to rejoice in the God of the universe because he chose to suffer on the cross because he wanted to have a relationship, a personal relationship with us, as wicked and as evil and as satanic as we are. That's the reason why we don't have that's the reason we don't rejoice in God, because we don't see our sin nature as we should. We don't see God's holiness as we should. We don't understand what he really did for us. I want you to notice the second thing. Those that do not rejoice in God are hypocrites. Look in the last verse. It says, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. Those that speak lies, the hypocrites, those do not rejoice in God. Look at Romans 3:19. Let's look at Romans 3:19. Everyone should know Romans. If you're a Christian, you need to study Romans, okay? The gospel according to Paul. That's Romans. Romans chapter 3, great book, okay? Not that there's no, not all books aren't great, but Romans chapter 3. And, okay, I am awful, okay? Romans chapter 3. Unfortunately, I had this read down, but I didn't actually mark it. I apologize for that, because it takes time to find, especially in my new Bible. Romans chapter 3:19, it says, now we know that what things soever the law said, it said to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. The law is the standard. The law was never meant to save us from sin. It was made to show us that we needed to be saved from sin. See, every time that a person stands up and says, well, you know, I'm a pretty good guy, excuse me, or whatever, I'm not that bad, I'm not a terrorist, I'm not a child molester, I'm not a rapist, excuse me, I don't look at pornography, I don't cheat on my wife, whatever thing that we use as a standard to say that we're a good person, God says, look into my law. What does it say in the New Testament? It says, but the law, he that looketh into the perfect law of liberty, the law is like a mirror, you know, the mirror that you look into to see how clean and how dirty you are. We need to look at the law. Thou shalt not commit adultery, which means not even to fornicate. It doesn't mean just cheating on your wife. It means, and it doesn't mean just it covers all fornication. Homosexuality, sleeping together, meeting somebody at a club and going to sleep with them, or living with somebody. In my opinion, that's worse than meeting somebody from a club, because you just continue. It's like you got the club thing that you did, one night stand, but you just keep doing the one night stand over and over and over and over and over again. The other thing is homosexuality. But see, God takes it further. He goes in the New Testament. He says, Jesus says, whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after has committed all these other sins. So if you just look at somebody and you keep looking to lust, to fantasize, it means to fantasize. You're having a fantasy. Okay. It's not just looking at someone and go, wow, she's gorgeous. And then it's you keep looking and you keep, you start fantasizing about her or him. Women do it too. I've seen women do it too. But, that's, puts you in the same category as the person who has committed a homosexual act, as person who's living together or having a one-night stand. It puts you in the same category, okay? Steal, thou shalt not steal. All of us is stolen. All of us has borrowed a pen from somebody and didn't give it back. And we didn't give it back not because we forgot, but because we took the hot. Maybe you forgot. You got home and realized you had the pen. But you didn't take it back because that's too much trouble, right? Thou shalt not steal. Do you realize that what you did by not taking it back, do you realize Jesus Christ had to die on the cross for that? Just like he had to die on the cross for what Hitler killing 6 billion Jews. So See, we don't put things in the perspective that the Bible puts them in. Rejoice in God. Rejoice in God for who He is. Rejoice in God for what He has done. And most of all, do not be one of the people that do not rejoice in God. If you ever find yourself not rejoicing in God, it means that you are neglecting Him. You are counting Him as common, as not important. Your entire Christian life, my entire Christian life, is about my relationship with God. It's not about winning souls. It's not about going to church. It's not about giving. It's not about teaching Sunday school. It's about having a personal relationship and rejoicing in God. Do you realize that's what eternity is? Eternity, eternal life, is not us living forever. Eternal life, because the people in hell are going to live together or live forever. Okay? Eternal life is us rejoicing in God, in our relationship with God for all eternity. We're going to be constantly learning about who He is as a person. And as we do that, we're going to love Him more. And our love is going to grow. And our love is going to grow all through eternity. That's what eternal life is. Make sure that you have a personal, number one, you're rejoicing in God. You can't rejoice in God until you have a personal relationship with Him. Make sure you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior. If you're not saved today, please get saved today. Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. Okay? And if you want to talk to someone more about that, look it up on the internet, go to your local congregation, go to church, get a Bible, call the church, email our church, you know, look us up on Facebook, Harmony Baptist Church, Dalton, Georgia. But make sure that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And remember that your relationship with Jesus Christ starts with salvation. And then as you grow, you will learn more about Jesus Christ and God the Father, and you will grow, and your love should grow. If your love is not growing, there's something wrong in your personal relationship. And find someone who's living and rejoicing in God, and they know God, and they're a Bible-based Christian. Get around that person and learn from that person. Don't just come to church and sit on a pew. Remember, rejoice in God. Good night.